Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, August 8, 2019. We'll start with a story titled Garden Goodies. Program educates, gives people chance to taste, and this is written by Mary Wyckoff in Danville. If you've ever eaten a yellow tomato or a husk cherry because they look different, how would you know if you like it or not? Adventurous eaters can sample a variety of produce at the annual Garden to Table program sponsored by the Vermilion County Extension Master Gardeners. The event will be 6 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, August 20th at the Danville Public Library. There is no charge to attend. However, people are encouraged to pre-register so there are enough handouts and samples. Master Gardeners will talk about their successes and challenges, and then people can sample their produce. The program attracts about 50 to 60 people each year, said Jenny Hanrahan, horticulture program coordinator with the extension. Last year, 10 to 15 master gardeners brought fruit, vegetables, and other goodies, including caramel corn, from their gardens. At the program, the gardeners will discuss and answer questions such as what thrived, what struggled and why, how did they manage specific insects or pests. They also will share information on seed varieties, soil, fertilizer, and water recommendations. Attendees will learn how to grow the best tasting tomato, tender cucumbers, or a better variety of green beans. They also will learn how to harvest their own popcorn, watermelon, and cauliflower. This is a great opportunity to sample different varieties of locally grown vegetables and fruits, she said. You may find a new variety of cucumber, beans, or tomato to try next year, along with ways to use your harvested vegetables and herbs. Master gardeners also are thinking about what they're going to bring. John Bodensteiner has several ideas, including ground cherries, also known as husk cherry or husk tomato. The tiny fruit, which is encased in a husk, grows on vines. After removed from the husk, they can be eaten raw or cooked into a sauce. Bodensteiner remembers his father growing the plants when John was a child. He likes to cook the fruit into a sauce and pour it over ice cream or pancakes. He also has some pickled yellow beans to bring and will find other produce from his plentiful gardens. As for Garden to Table, Bodensteiner said it's fantastic. They're going to taste some good food and different things. Pat Sollers said she knows people who say they don't like yellow tomatoes, for example. Have you tried them? She asks. When they say no, then she challenges them to taste one before dismissing it. She has a lot of produce to choose from at her gardens, including reddish-black carbon tomatoes, cucumbers, and peppers, and she plans to bring relish. Sollers, who has participated in Garden to Table in the past, said, "It's wonderful. It's good for any gardener who wants to try new varieties." Jen Hetherington said, "It's fun to see what everyone grew and the different varieties. You get to taste some things that you haven't tasted before." She plans to bring lemon cucumbers, which have the same flavor but a different color and shape from regular cucumbers. Jerry Trosper also has huge gardens on his 2-acre site, and he plans to bring pawpaws and other items. He said he and the other gardeners like to plant new crops every year, although each person has his or her favorites, he said. He also likes to grow plants that experts say can't be grown around here, such as peanuts and cotton. Marjorie Loggins, a master gardener since 2014, probably will bring pickled beets. She has already canned 8 quarts and expects to can 30 to 40 quarts this season. Recipes also will be available at the program. And there's a couple pictures. One of Master Gardener John Bodensteiner shows some ground cherries, which he makes into a sauce. He will bring the cherries, yellow pickled beans, and more to the Garden to Table program on August 20th. And then there's Master Gardeners gathered at Atwood House at Kennecuck County Park talk about the produce they'll take to the annual Garden to Table program on August 20th. From left to right are Jerry Trosper, Marjorie Loggins, and Casey Mitchell. Next story is titled District 118 Eyes Budget Projects. Proposed plan open to public for 30 days. And this is written by Carol Rome in Danville. Danville District 118 school board members Wednesday night reviewed a proposed spending plan for the 2019-20 school year and approved displaying it publicly for the next 30 days. The tentative budget shows $80.1 million in expenditures for the year, which is about $4.3 million more than last year, and $75.9 million in revenue, which is about $3.6 million more in revenue than the year before. A beginning fund balance of $29.9 million and an ending fund balance of $25.6 million also are projected. Revenue is up from last year, but expenses also are up because of increases in costs, Business Director Heather Smith told board members, adding, revenue is up because of additional money we're getting from grants. The preliminary budget, however, shows a deficit of $4.25 million. It's a deficit budget, but I hope it goes down a little more before the final budget, she said. Smith expects the revenue projections could change because she has yet to hear from the state about how much transportation reimbursement and state aid the district should receive in the new school year. It's probably going to change in the next 30 days, she said, of the budget. When board member Lon Henderson asked if the expected additional revenue would offset the deficit, Smith said no, we'll still have a slight deficit. About $1.975 million of the anticipated expenses are assigned dollars for improvements to be made to school buildings throughout the district. Some of the projects and money amounts that have been embarked include $650,000 to replace the HVAC system in Danville High School's pool room, $275,000 to repair the rear roof over the gym at Edison Elementary School, $250,000 to repair a stone and tuck point DHS's clock tower and field house, $200,000 to complete the roof over the 1972 addition at DHS, $75,000 to repair water lines at DHS, $150,000 to expand the parking lot at the Fields Administrative Services Center, $300,000 to repair the ceiling and paint the DHS gym, and $75,000 to tuck Point Mead Park Elementary School. Henderson and board member Darlene Halloran asked Buildings and Grounds Director Skip Trowe why renovating the science labs and creating a guidance office suite all at DHS weren't on the improvements list. Trowe said updating the science labs, including two physics labs and four science labs, as well as nearby classrooms and the library media center, would cost about $3.5 million. He said creating a guidance office suite would cost about $600,000 to $800,000. We're not looking at 5 or 10 years, Trowe said. We're looking at infrastructure that will last 20 to 40 years. Trowe has had to shuffle other projects around on his 1 to 5 year list as emergency work has come up. On his list for the future is a 2021 boiler chiller project at Southwest Elementary School, estimated to cost $600,000, building an addition at Northeast Elementary Magnet School to house a fitness center, a couple of classrooms and restrooms for sixth grade, and installing an HVAC system for Northeast Gym lunchroom at a cost of $650,000. Trowe said he also has preliminary drawings to build an addition onto Kenneth D. Bailey Academy. Also on Wednesday, board members approved Darius Hightower as Mark Denman Elementary School's new assistant principal and Tanner DeLaurer as Southview Upper Elementary School's assistant principal. Both men had been administrative interns at their respective schools last year. Next story is titled Longtime Marriages Take a Lot of Work, and this is written by Farah Anderson in Georgetown. Do you love me? Do you want me? I think this is how love goes. Check yes or no. My baby loves me, Cadillac style. The Georgetown Fair's Banquet Center was filled with love songs Wednesday for the annual Golden Wedding. The Golden Wedding celebrated local couples who have passed their 50th wedding anniversary. Ed and Diane Lane will have been married 54 years this September. They met in high school and were married soon after graduation. Ed joined the service, and the couple moved away from family during the war. They raised a family throughout their marriage and attended kids' and grandkids' games and activities. It takes a lot of work to stay married. You can just up and leave after a little fight, Ed said. The couple shared advice for lovebirds in the younger generations. Learn to be self-sufficient and depend on each other, Diane said. One of their daughters has been married 23 years and the other has been married 33 years. Now Ed and Diane focus on themselves and their relationship. We fish together, we have a flower garden, we take care of our pool, eat dinner with friends, the pair said. The Golden Wedding featured live music with love songs including Love Me Tender, Can't Help Falling in Love, and oldies such as Great Balls of Fire and Folsom Prison Blues. Back in the day, some men saw some pretty women, and you're all here because they get prettier every day, the performer said to the crowd, bearing a smile. The Georgetown Ridge Farm High School cheer team served cobbler and ice cream at the event. They performed a routine and even started dancing during the musical performance. The afternoon concluded with a standing ovation for God Bless the USA and a round of bingo for the couples. The fair continues through Saturday. A rodeo starts at 7 p.m. today in front of the grandstands. And there is a picture of a couple embraces Wednesday during an Elvis cover at the Golden Wedding celebration at the Georgetown Fair. The event recognizes couples who have been married for 50 years or more. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Judith Marie Jones Coons Decker, 68, of Sidell, passed away Tuesday, August 6th at 1:30 p.m. at her home, surrounded by family and friends. A celebration of Judy's life will be at 2 p.m. Saturday, August 10th at Sidell First Baptist Church at 301 North Gray Street in Sidell, with Pastor Craig Rawler officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 Friday, August 9th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown at 200 East West Street. She will be laid to rest in Woodlawn Cemetery in Indianola. Memorial donations may be given in her name to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Susan Susie Elizabeth Ills, 65, of Mattoon, formerly of Hoopston, passed away August 1st in Champaign, Illinois. Visitation will be at 11 from 11 to noon on Saturday, August 10th at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. A memorial service will be at noon following visitation at Anderson Funeral Home with the pastor Richard Lewis officiating. Burial will follow at Amity Cemetery in Goodwine, Illinois. Memorials may be given to Hoopston United Methodist Church, 403 East Main Street, Hoopston, Illinois, 60942. Chad Wayne Lockhart, 44, of Fishers, Indiana, passed away unexpectedly Sunday, August 4th, at his home. Services will be at 4 p.m. EDT time to Sunday, August 11th, at Randall and Roberts Funeral Center at 1685 Westfield Road in Noblesville, Indiana, with visitation from 2 p.m. to the time of the service. Reverend Stanley R. Sutton will officiate. Melissa Bell Morgan, 99, of Georgetown, passed away at 5:51 p.m. on Monday, August 5th, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Graveside services at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 10th, at Georgetown Cemetery. Robeson Chapel in Catlin is handling the arrangements. Joseph Mike Dickerson, 70, of Linden Station, Wisconsin, formerly from Danville, Illinois, passed away Saturday, July 20th, at his home. A memorial funeral service will be at noon on Saturday, August 10th, at Conway Pica Funeral Home in Linden Station. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. until time of the service. Marissa Nicole Bowen, 17, of Lafayette, Indiana, died on Monday, July 22nd, 2019. Memorial services will be at 10 a.m. Saturday at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Robbie Ketcherside will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be from 9 to 10 a.m. Saturday at the funeral home. Glenn Hackney, 69, of Hoopston, died at 11:48 a.m. Monday, July 22nd, at home. Cremation rites have been accorded. Visitation will be from 4 to 5 p.m. Friday at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. And Francis Howard Frank Stump, 76, of Hoopston, passed away at 9:14 p.m. Monday, August 5th, at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Living in Hoopston. A visitation will be from 2 to 5 p.m. Sunday, August 11th, at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. The funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday, August 12th, at the funeral home, with the Reverend Earl Ells officiating. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Memorials may be made to the Antioch Christ of Church at 37604A North 1900 East Road, Rossville, Illinois 60963, or Carl Hospice at 206 West Anthony Drive, Champaign, Illinois 61822. Okay, the next story is titled Hoopston Council Likes Trash Changes. This is written by Carol Hicks in Hoopston. Representatives from Republic Services attended the City Council meeting Tuesday with good reports on the bulk roll-off implemented last month at City Hall. "I think it's working well," said Toby Wolf, operations manager. "It has stopped a lot of illegal dumping." Susan Piazza, area senior manager municipal sales, agreed, saying that the bulk was back to normal for Hoopston. In June, roll-offs were placed south of the soccer field on South 6th Avenue for bulk town items that generated about four roll-offs or more for July. Many more roll-offs used than curbside pickup generated normally in Hoopston. The five-year contract included an option, after a trial basis in June and July, to return to curbside bulk pickup if the council was not happy with the roll-offs. During the last council meeting in June, the council decided to move the roll-offs to the parking lot beside City Hall on West Main Street. Two Saturdays, one in July and one in August, brought the bulk down significantly for Hoopston. Following a lengthy discussion between the council and the representatives, Alderman Bill Goodwine requested the option to return to curbside pickup again be discussed, pricing, how long it would take for Republic to schedule curbside again, and another meeting to finalize an agreement. Piazza stated she would send a pricing page to Goodwine this week. Two other questions were raised by the council members regarding pickup, including one for disabled or senior residents who struggle to take carts to the curb for pickup. Wolf said Republic does offer this service for disabled and seniors by its drivers. The drivers will pick up carts at the door as long as visible from the road. Drivers take the carts from the home, empty the carts, and replace them. Wolf said the residents needed this service should let dispatch know which addresses are requesting this service. Second, the high school roll-off needs replaced, but the school has not received a call back about the request. Wolf said he will call and explain the company is in the process of obtaining new front load containers to replace the older ones. All containers will be replaced once these containers are available. Since residents are having trouble receiving callbacks, as reported by several aldermen, Alderman Alex Holmes suggested adding phone number, address, and email to Hoopston Digital City Directory for residents. In other school board business, council members learned two new auxiliary police officers has been hired, Corin Allen of Milford and Grant Ramos of Hoopston. Amanda Thorne, former alumni living in Danville, was hired as a new dispatcher for Hoopston. Officer Marvin Dopkins received the Top Cop Award for Public Service for DUI life-saving. The Hoopston pool will close on August 11th. The council approved unanimously Diaz Construction siding proposal for the walls on two buildings in the 200 block of East Main Street at a cost of $27,200. The building between the two buildings was demolished, leaving just holes open in the walls. Alderman Jeff Wise said that advertisements for a new shared employee will be placed in Just the Facts and the Chronicle. Wise also drafted and tree permit for council to read and discuss for planting and removal of trees from a resident's property. The cemetery will accept bids at 10 a.m. on August 16th for a dump bed and snow plow for the new cemetery truck. Information is available at City Hall. The Parks Committee received a $700 grant for the Girl Scouts house improvement. The committee is accepting sealed bids for the 1994 Ford Ranger in the Parks Department. The bids are due August 30th at noon and will be opened at 1 p.m. on September 3rd. It was learned state forms regarding asbestos. The Canyon property had been sent August 2nd. Planned demolition of the property is set for August 16th. The next Hoopston Council meeting will begin at 7 p.m. on August 20th at City Hall. Okay, the next story is titled Former Vermilion County Finance Director Wrongful Termination Lawsuit Moving Again, and this is written by Tracy Crane in Danville. A former Vermilion County Finance Director, Nikki Bogart, is continuing to pursue a wrongful termination lawsuit against the county and state representative Mike Moran, but this time the filing is in circuit court rather than the federal level, where her previous complaint was dismissed by U.S. District Judge Colin Bruce. A six-count complaint that seeks more than $50,000 in damages was filed on February 21st in Vermilion County Circuit Court, but is just now starting to move forward, with parties being summoned. Those include Moran, who was Vermilion County Board Chairman in January of 2015 when Bogart was terminated as Finance Director, a post she's held since July of 2007. The suit alleges that Moran, who was elected state representative in the 104th District in 2018, suddenly and unexpectedly fired Bogart for political reasons rather than job performance. Moran, a Republican, was elected by the 27-member county board as its full-time chairman in late 2014, 2 years after Bogart unsuccessfully ran for county recorder as a Democratic Party's nominee. She had also actively campaigned for other Democratic candidates. About a month after Moran took the chairman's job, he fired Bogart. In the federal lawsuit, the county and Moran maintain that Bogart was fired for insubordination, gross misconduct, negligence, inefficiency, and lack of cooperation and communication with Moran. Bogart and her attorney argued that she was highly qualified for her job and performed in an efficient, nonpartisan way, gaining merit-based pay increases and positive performance reviews, and never receiving any disciplinary action or complaints about her work. While the First Amendment prohibits a government employee from being fired for political beliefs, there's an exception, known as the Elrod Branty exception, for employees in a confidential or policy-making position for which political affiliation is an appropriate requirement. Bruce ruled that Bogart's position as finance director fell under that exception. He wrote that even if the court were to determine that Bogart were terminated due to her political affiliation, because her position was such that her political affiliation was a legitimate and relevant consideration, the Elrod Brandt exception would apply. The judge also dismissed the remaining state law claims in the federal complaint and said they could be refiled at circuit court level. Bogart's attorney, Charleston-based Jacob Smallhorn, said the allegations in the new suit are the same, but they're now pleading state causes of action. He cited a state statute, the Local Government Employees Political Rights Act, which prevents people from punishing others who campaign for or against a political candidate or exercise their political rights. The act defines political rights as including campaigning for or against political candidates and seeking public office. You can't fire people just because you don't like their politics, said Smallhorn, who did not represent Bogart in her federal lawsuit. The first two counts allege that the county and Moran violated the Local Government Employees Political Rights Act. The third count alleges retaliatory discharge. Two others allege intentional infliction of emotional distress, while the last two alleges intentional interference with prospective economic advantage. The lawsuit states that Bogart reasonably expected to earn it an additional $1.6 million in salary until she retired as finance director at the age of 65, and an additional $580,654 in retirement benefits. Attorney Michael Condon, who is representing the county and Moran, said the federal court has already reviewed her lawsuit and threw it out. She appealed and the court affirmed the dismissal. He said he intends to file a motion to dismiss the state complaint as well, adding that this is meritless and ultimately will be dismissed. Okay, just a couple minutes left, so we'll run through some community briefs. In Danville, music at library, enjoy family-friendly activities, vendors, and live entertainment by the Filthy Janes at the Saturday Morning Summer Sounds and Farmers Market from 9 to 1 p.m. on the library lawn. And then in Homes Sought for Tour, the Danville Area Tour of Homes seeks people to open their homes on December 8th. Homeowners in the Danville-Bismarck area who participate should decorate for the holidays and make a commitment for that day. Proceeds will benefit the American Diabetes Association. Call Chris Fitzsimmons at 497-1037 or learn more at www.facebook.com/Danville Retours Home. It's DanvileReTourHomes. Sponsors are also being sought. And in Hoopston, Trivia Night set. The Save the Lorraine Foundation plans a Trivia Night at 6 p.m. on August 16th in the historic Lorraine Theater at 324 East Main Street. Pizza King personal pizza will be served for $15, which includes the entry fee. The event is limited to 10 teams of up to 5 people. Our participants can come alone and join a team. Fee is $10 per person, which includes a box of theater popcorn and a small bottle of water or soda. Concessions will be available for purchase. Winning team members receive refund of entry fee. To reserve a table, call Marilyn at 217-840-4870 or Betty at 217-304-5308. Proceeds go to the restoration of the Lorraine. And then stair climb planned. Hoopston 911 Memorial Stair Climb will begin at 7 a.m. September 7th at John Greer Grade School. Cost is $25 per climber, which includes a t-shirt. Those under 15 may climb for free. And the Georgetown Fair is going on this week. So today they've got the Junior Livestock Auction at 2 p.m. Commercial buildings are open from 4 to 9. The bargain night in the carnival is from 6 to close. And at 7 p.m., KISS, Country Karaoke Contest Showcase Building. And at 7 is the rodeo. And then tomorrow is at 2 p.m. is the poultry show. From 4 to 9, the buildings are open. At 5 o'clock is the showing of junior dairy goats or dry goats. From 6 to close, the carnival is open. And at 7:30, Tyler Farr with NATU Band. And then Saturday is American Dairy Goat Association Sanctioned Senior Dairy Goat Show. And then that's at 8 o'clock. And then also registration for the Pretty Baby Contest is at 8 o'clock. And then at 9 is the Pretty Baby Contest sponsored by Georgetown Ridge Farm High School Cheerleaders. And at 9 is the Llama and Alpaca Show. 11 o'clock is Pygmy Goat Show in the Sheep Barn. And then at 1 is the Ponytail Pigtail Contest. At 1:30 is the Pedal Tractor Pull. And from 1 to 5 is Kitty Day at the Carnival. 3:30 is Ping Pong Drop behind Machinery Tent. And from 5 to close is the Carnival. And at 5:30 is Demolition Derby. And at 6 is Logan Kirby and Sons Legacy in the Showcase Building. So it sounds like a nice little carnival going on there. One more thing, on Saturday is the Danville's Farmers Market from 8 to noon at Crossroads Church at 3613 North Vermilion Street in Danville. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, August 8th, 2019. I hope you all have a good week. It's hopefully going to get a little cooler and maybe we'll get a little rain. I think the farmers need it now, right? Anyway, hope you all have a good week and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Bye. Take care.